You're listening to The Aaron Carrera Show. And now your host, Aaron Carrera.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It is me, Aaron, and you are listening to The Aaron Carrera Show on 1-2 Radio. 1-2 Radio. And it is Thursday, August 22nd. Happy birthday, Judy. Let's see. She knows who she is. 10:01 a.m. Happy belated birthday to my beloved Scarlett. And we today are going to be talking about a bunch of things. Well, not really. Two things. We're going to be talking about self-sabotage. I heard the collective, no, we're going to be talking about it because I just think it is so important for us to learn how to stop it, identify it, try to learn how to identify it in the moment or even before. Yeah. And then, and what it means on a deeper level. Right. And we are going to be talking a little bit about abundance and prosperity because I'm going to be starting a program in September. If you're on my mailing list, I'm going to be sending out emails regularly. And we're going to be doing radio shows that are going to be including practices, meditations, techniques for improving abundance, increasing prosperity, finding different approaches, and finding different approaches so that you can find the approach that works for you. I also want to ask, this is why I'm starting with self-sabotage today, 2 weeks before, or two episodes before September starts, because often our old habits kind of take over, right? Trust me, I know, there's this word in Italian I learned the other day, it's called a spendaccione. A spendaccione, if you're a male, or a spendacciona, if you're female, because they have, the gendered nouns in Romance languages. It means that you're a spender. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious, right? Spendaccione, spendacciona. And my Italian teacher was like, you know, are you a spendacciona, Aaron? And I was like, ah, sì, certo, sono una spendacciona. Which means, yeah, absolutely, absolutely, I'm a spender. And he laughed and laughed. And I am like, but I don't ever let it worry me. And I still believe in building, I believe in cycling for the future, right? Just like farmers cycle their crops. Farmers conserve seeds. Heirloom tomatoes are some of the best tomatoes in the world because these are seeds that have been preserved and cared for and cultivated for... Oh, sneezing. Huh? Sorry, I have to sneeze. It won't come. I'm sneezing on the truth, I guess, but my sneeze didn't want to actually fulfill itself. Well, we'll get to that. Self-sabotage, right? Anyway, these are seeds that are about preserving for the future. So I want to talk about prosperity and abundance and finance and money, and I want to talk about it from multiple approaches, from the approach of manifesting windfalls, from the approach of incrementally increasing your income, from the approach of also preserving for the future and what is appropriate and what that looks like. Because there are going to be different people with different issues, right? Some people don't give themselves enough spending, and some people spend too much, and some people are right in the middle, right? Just like Goldilocks. But in preparation for that, today I thought, to me, it seems really important to discover what self-sabotage is, learn different ways you might be sabotaging without even realizing it, and talk about some techniques to stop self-sabotaging. This could be self-sabotaging relationships, success, even yourself, your health, right? And this, it is a little bit of a deep topic, so I think we should dive in. But I do want to say that if you like what you're hearing and you want to come find me over at 1-2-Listen, I will be available at 1-2-Listen this afternoon and early evening. And then I actually have an event. I will be out of town. I'm going to Sonoma for an event. I'll be, actually, if you're in Sonoma and you want to come, I will be singing for the Sonoma Raceway Ferrari Challenge. I'm going to be singing the national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner, and the Italian national anthem for the Ferrari races in Sonoma. And then I'll be back Saturday night, and then I'll be back to my normal schedule Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, every day. So come find me, 12listen.com/Aaron. That's Aaron with an E. And one of the reasons I was thinking about self-sabotage is because a lot of times people call me on 12listen and they're like, okay, well, so I said this and I did that, and then they realize that what they said and what they did was not in alignment with what they truly want, and then they start beating themselves up for it, and which is another form of self-sabotage, by the way, another increasing the chances that you will self-sabotage in the future. So I just thought, you know, we need to talk about this. We need to talk about what is self-sabotage. What is going on here? Why? Sometimes it is out of, you know, let's go into the brain for a moment. We know now that our brain likes to do what it is habituated to doing. You know, from the moment that you are, basically from the moment you start being a little zygote until now, your entire physical being, your neurological being, your chemical being, which produces, you know, your hormonal being, which produces your emotional being, all of these aspects of your being, all of the different systems of your ontological being, of your holistic being, they are built on patterns, right? If you watch babies, when babies are learning to raise their heads, learning to hold up their heads with their muscles, yes, they are building that musculature and some of that bone structure as they go. They are also having specific neurological patterns or pathways laid at that moment. They are also learning certain communication and verbal cues and visual, right, sound, visual cues, not that much compared to, say, when you're five. Your verbal cues are far more developed when you're a little older. But these are things that are being developed as you go. Different patterns that are being laid, different habits that are being formed. So all of this adds up to where you are now. Let's say you're 37 years old, or you're 62 years old, or however old you are. Your brain has, and your body has, infinite habits that it is now used to relying upon. And it is very efficient for your brain to rely upon those habits, right? Very efficient. So that it can conserve the energy for any new task that pops up, any task that requires a lot of energy, like thinking about a new issue or an impending danger or physical labor, right? Which in modern times basically boils down to anger in traffic and going to the gym. No, I'm teasing a little, but kind of not entirely. So sometimes some of the self-sabotage is literally just recurring patterns. But there's more to it than that, right? What I'm talking about with self-sabotage is when we are actually shutting down in the face of opportunity, when we are shying away from challenges, doubting ourselves and letting that doubt get in the way of our goals or our actions that would lead us to having a life that we would love to live. Right? We all have it. We all have times when moments when doubt shows up, or where something feels very hard and we get overwhelmed or we get scared. Or like for me, my self-sabotage often shows up in the form of physical pain and headaches. And then I become this, like, you know, cranky, sourdough person. And as soon as I catch it, I put my hand on my heart and I hand that headache over to the divine. I say, is this a physical headache, or is this just me stinking thinking and not even noticing I'm doing that? Oh, right. A lot of times we are actually not even seeing that we're self-sabotaging because it feels real. It feels like, well, it's a headache. Well, it's a real headache and a neck ache and a shoulder ache. And so, you know, that's why, yes, trust me, I've had migraines in my life. Although I take this amazing supplement called MindEase that has really gotten rid of 99% of all my migraines and headaches. I cannot believe it still. Almost a year later, My headaches are not a daily occurrence like they used to be. But I'm just saying that sometimes my headaches actually are just my body culminating and amassing all of my negativity and toxicity that I've been thinking about, whatever is my issue, whoever I'm having an issue with, whatever I'm having an issue with, whatever fear is going on and presenting itself. Oh, maybe it's not actually a headache. Maybe I'm just in fear. Maybe I'm nervous about some discussion I have to have with somebody. Maybe I'm nervous about an event coming up for which I want to do well, and I have fear, and that fear is gripping me, and I need to breathe into it, right? We may not even know when we're all self-sabotaging. So a lot of this is very much about getting in touch with what's going on with you, right? And then sometimes these moments that are practical, it is practical to have fear about something like buying a new home, right? That's a major purchase. It is practical to have fear about having to go in to have your yearly review with your boss and your manager. And that's practical. But when we doubt ourselves and shy away from challenges and shut down, and this becomes a recurring pattern, that can actually become a habit, right? These thoughts, these actions, these behaviors that undermine our aspirations. We could get so shut down, we say, you know what? I don't want to go sing. Mm-mm. We make it so hard on ourselves. Or if you're me, unfortunately, you give yourself a, you know, like a cold sore on the back of your throat or something like that, right? It's self-sabotage when these things can happen, and they can start to manifest physically, is what I'm saying, right? And self-sabotage happens in so many areas. When you're working on a big project at school or work, applying for a new job, trying to stick to a brand new health and fitness routine, building a new relationship, hitting a point in a relationship where it's time to actually do some relationship building work, but you're overwhelmed about your long-term relationship, right? It might be seemingly out of nowhere that you will find any excuse. Like I said, it could be fear. It could be that you're like, no, I've got a headache. No, I've got this terrible physical ache. No, I've got whatever excuse you might come up with. Oh, I don't like the way that he says the I don't like the way he overpronounces his S's, whatever, right? It's like, we'll come up with all kinds of reasons to justify the fear. And it seems almost like some invisible force that's pushing you in the opposite direction of where you really want to go. Self-sabotage prevents you from fully living your life. So what is it? Why does it happen? Knowing what it is and knowing why it happens can make it so much easier for you to recognize and work through this for yourself, okay? Sure, it can come in the form of procrastinating on something you don't want to do, but it's even more than that, really. It really is about these patterns that we're talking about, conscious or subconscious, that interfere with your life, interfere with your long-term goals, interfere with your financial goals. You want to save up for a trip to Hawaii, but you keep finding yourself buying, you know, cheap fashion at Sheen or Shine, however you say it, right? Things that interrupt your personal projects, your relationships. So why do we do this, right? You know, despite our best intentions, we set up an altar, we put together a vision board, we maybe even start taking steps toward our dreams. Sometimes we become our own biggest obstacle. Why? I mean, there's a lot of reasons why, actually, right? A lot of reasons. The first one might sound weird, but I'm going to start with the fear of success, right? Now, why would anybody be afraid of success? But really, for some people, succeeding might bring consequences they may not want. Heightened responsibility, right? Well, I'll tell you, getting into a long-term relationship, getting married, brings heightened commitment, heightened responsibility, heightened vulnerability. If you want to stay in that relationship, you have to work through some of your crap. You have to learn how to make concessions, work with your partner. You know, it's hard. In a way, it's easier. In some ways, it's easier to just be like, you know what, I guess I'll just do it on my own so I can at least think the way I want to think and not have to change, right? heightened responsibility with work. You might suddenly have more to do or more riding on your shoulders, right? If you might suddenly have more people answering to you and relying on you. You might be afraid of greater expectations that you may worry about fulfilling. You might be afraid of eventual failure. A lot of times it's really not the success that people fear, but the added pressures that come with it. And then there's also the way that relationships might change, right? You know, some people worry what their friends and family will think of them. This happened to me. I remember when I was in high school and I lost a lot of weight and I became thin and therefore in the view of the world, pretty. And a lot of my friends stabbed me in the back and turned on me. And I was shocked. And I feel like that really negatively impacted my ability to have friendships and groups of friendships and female friendships for many years. And so I sabotaged a lot of my friendship relationships because of that experience, right? Because having this seeming success of being suddenly suddenly becoming attractive to people who previously hadn't looked at me in that way created a difference in my relationships with people in my core group, people who are my best friends, so I thought. Now, that's not, that I've worked through at this point in my life, but there are other things, right? People have fear of how their relationships will change, right? Another reason we may self-sabotage is low self-esteem, frankly, right? That voice in your head that says you're not good enough, right? There are some days it's louder and some days it's not as loud. But if you're hearing it consistently, it might be a sign of low self-esteem. And people with low self-esteem will often use self-sabotage as a means to make your reality align with your inner beliefs, right? It's like a defense mechanism. If you mess up intentionally, you're in control of the failure, right? Or it's some character flaw. And I see this especially with relationships. I see this especially with people who have consistently sabotaged their romantic relationships because they don't truly feel they are worthy yet of being in a great romantic relationship. So they choose partners that are emotionally unavailable so they don't have to actually get vulnerable, so they can control the intimacy. They may mess up relationships with people who are actually viable partners so that they don't have to go through that feeling of vulnerability as you're building intimacy and trust, right? Another one I touched upon when we were talking about fear of success is the avoidance of failure, right? Now, no one likes to fail, but failing is very important. I would highly recommend, I talk about it all the time, the Theodore Roosevelt speech called The Man in the Arena. Well, that's really more about your critics. So that's a little bit more about what other people will think of you. But a lot of people are so afraid of failure that they really would just not rather try. They would rather just not try at all than risk the disappointment. And so for some people, it's better to self-sabotage and have an excuse ready to go then try really hard and still not succeed. And yet, I know it's cheesy, but I'm somebody who fails constantly. Just as a creative person with multiple careers, right? I fail all the time. And now I'm just used to it. Now I'm just used to people saying no. I'm just used to people being like not wanting me for whatever, for this job, that job, firing me. I've been fired from jobs, all kinds of things for different reasons. Not because I'm not good always, but sometimes because I'm not right for it. So I want to tell you it's not that bad. You can get used to it. I think you can actually start to see it as like, oh, okay, well, if this one isn't for me, then great. The sooner I know, the better I can move on. But really, even more importantly, I would say that if you were available to feel any feeling, including disappointment, then including those feelings that come with failure, disappointment, disillusionment, sadness, grief, it would actually open up your life a lot, because then you would welcome any feeling to your experience of life, and you wouldn't be trying to prevent some feelings, and therefore also inadvertently preventing feelings you do want, like when you do succeed, right? When you do have something work out for you, that joy, that feeling of cohesion and pleasure that comes from that. Now, some people have a great fear of the unknown, right? Even positive change can be intimidating for some people. So for some people, it's about just feeling familiar to feel safe, right? Even if that safety is uncomfortable, undesirable, right? Venturing outside of a comfort zone is not always something people want to do. And so as a result, people may subconsciously self-sabotage themselves, right? Along the lines of self-esteem, are worthiness issues in general, right? Some people have a hard time getting past difficult experiences from childhood, deeply ingrained beliefs, right? And so it may mean that they self-sabotage, because as soon as they get close to achieving something great, believing they aren't worthy, they pull back. Understanding the roots of self-sabotage is a really important part of overcoming it. Because if you can start to see, like, oh my goodness, I really am trying to control intimacy in relationships because I really am afraid of being vulnerable. I really am. Then you can understand which is more important to you. Is it more important to you to not get vulnerable, or is it more important to you to get into a relationship? Or is it a sliding scale and you might just need to do a little work on incremental steps toward taking positive, healthy risks, right? So if you don't know, I would love to list a series of signs of self-sabotage, because there's a lot of different ways that self-sabotage sneaks up, right? It just sort of like sneaks in there and you don't even realize that's what it is at first, right? But if you can start spotting them, then you can take steps toward addressing what the heck is going on and defeat it. So the number one sign of self-sabotage is procrastination. If you are continuously delaying or avoiding important tasks, especially when you know that they are extremely important for your success, right? Oh, yes, I know I need to study for that exam, but I'll wait to the last minute. Oh, well, I know I have this. Okay, so I was just singing in this cabaret over the weekend. And it is very typical of a lot of actors and singers to not rehearse until the last minute. I'm the opposite of this, by the way, because I'm so type A about this stuff, but also because I don't like to stress. I like to be relaxed. So I like to come up with a plan where I stack most of the work early on in my awareness of what I'm doing, so that by the time I get closer to whatever it is, the exam, the test, the performance, the reading, the program, the teaching, whatever it is, I just like to enjoy. So I'm someone who stacks the work, if I can, as far as I'm able. I'm someone who will stack the heavy lifting early on so that later I can enjoy more. Well, that's me, right? And that's a habit I've built into my life. I would say a lot of people, like these singers I was working with, a lot of them procrastinated until the last minute. And then, you know, some people are motivated by that. Then they're like, oh no. And there's this sort of 11th hour learning the song, and there's all this drama around it. And some people thrive on that. I don't. And I actually think that can take you only so far, because, you know, the day will come where you really do need to know your stuff. And that if that day comes and you don't know your stuff, that might be a sign of self-sabotaging. Another sign of self-sabotaging is negative self-talk. This one is really sneaky, but if you're engaging in an internal dialogue that's extremely self-critical or demeaning to yourself, and these are sneaky, especially when it comes to things that are secretly very important to us, right? Just see if you can notice any negative self-talk. I would add in there negative negative moods, dark moods, moodiness, and physical manifestations of that, right? Like your face being moody, your face being sour, your arms and shoulders being tense, your shoulders being up to your ears. If you notice, like, I get nauseated. When I get nauseated, it's like, oh, what's going on? Let me tell you, that is not a fun one to have. Like, that I get nauseated every time I'm starting to manifest something negative. Oh, I mean, I guess I'm grateful, but it's like, good Lord, nausea is the worst. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, oh, okay, well, it's also a gift. Every time I notice that I have nausea, it's like, okay, am I nervous about something? Am I manifesting? Can I put my hand on my heart and breathe deep and say, what's going on there, little body? What's going on? What do you got to tell me today, right? Another sign of self-sabotaging is self-isolation. Pulling away from friends, family, colleagues, especially in times of stress or challenge, right? If you are not able to ask for and or receive help and support from people, you know, that is a sign of self-sabotage. Here's one that I have, perfectionism. Ugh, what a waste, but I've got it. Setting unattainable standards for yourself. And then this one, the next part I don't have, waiting for things to be perfect before moving on. I don't have that. I eventually do move on. But if you're waiting for things to be perfect, you're waiting for the perfect guy, you're waiting for the unicorn partner, you're waiting for whatever it is, and it stops you from working on the project or the thing that you're working on because you always find faults and you never feel ready, that's a sign of self-sabotage. This is a big one, avoiding feedback, getting defensive whenever there's criticism. Even constructive criticism is offered. You know, feedback is a growth tool. I'm not talking about mean trolls, right? I'm talking about feedback. That is a sign that you are protecting yourself from something that you perceive as a threat to your self-worth. But positive, constructive, and honest feedback actually helps us grow, right? And then another big sign of self-sabotage, boy, do I know this one, frequent feelings of regret. Oh boy, this is what caused me to want to talk about this on the show in the first place. So many of you wonderful, beautiful people calling in with these deep, deep feelings of regret over things that are often not actually, honestly, even worthy, if I may say so. Honestly, not worthy of that level of regret, right? Like, oh, I said the wrong thing. I don't even know if I did. I may have said something that wasn't as attractive as I intended to be, and now maybe the guy's not interested. Well, let me tell you, there comes a point where you're just going to be yourself, and the person is either going to be into you or they're not. And I feel like it's, yes, of course, I've done it too, where it's like, just as I was winning the audition, somebody asked me a question, and I couldn't stop talking, and I said the wrong thing, and then I kept saying the wrong thing. I mean, I've done that. I've been there. But dwelling on that, okay, well, learn from it, right? The ideal thing is if you make a mistake, because mistakes happen, if you made even a wrong choice, as soon as possible, make the right choice. Forgive yourself. Learn from the mistake, right? Dwelling on past mistakes and constantly feeling as though you've made wrong choices, that actually may be a sign of self-sabotaging. Okay, so how do we stop that? How do we stop self-sabotaging? I'm going to tell you that it takes time in terms of, maybe not time, it takes effort. It takes effort, it takes patience, it takes self-love, or at least the openness and availability to self-love, self-regard, self-esteem, self-worth. It takes practice often as well, because sometimes these are habits that you've really unconsciously built over time. Now, there are actually many, many tools that will help you stop overthinking, break patterns of fear, and move forward in life, okay? Many tools. And if you start working with these tools, you will not only stop self-sabotaging, you will actually set a foundation for a more fulfilling and happier life, right? So Let's go through some of the tools that I've been thinking of, and we'll see if I just in the moment also come up with some more, because there is many tools. But the number one thing that you can do is mindfulness, right? Becoming self-aware, becoming present in the moment, so that you can really understand your triggers, understand your patterns, even catching yourself in the moment, right? Like I catch myself. If I get to the point where I have nausea, that means I have not been catching myself in the moment. Other than that, I forgive myself for all of that. That's totally okay. Thank you, nausea, for letting me know, oh, something's up. Thank you, headache, for letting me know, oh, something's up. Because the headache will cause me to get like foggy, right? Foggy in my head. Oh, something's up. As soon as you can just catch yourself slipping into unhelpful behaviors, self-sabotaging habits, right? So there's a lot of ways that you can practice mindfulness. You can meditate, right? You can do practices where you breathe into the bottoms of your feet. Let's just try that for a moment. The body scan, right? Everybody, just take to begin, let's just take a nice, long, slow, deep breath in and out. And we're just going to do a gentle body scan right now, okay? So I just want you to imagine you could breathe into the bottoms of your feet. And you're just going to put your focus on the bottoms of your left foot and your left ankle and your left calf. And you're going to imagine you could breathe into that left thigh. And you're going to imagine that you could breathe into the bottom of your right foot. And you're just going to place your attention on your right foot, your right ankle, your right calf, your right knee, and your right thigh. I want you to imagine that you could breathe into that root chakra, right? You could breathe into the base of your spine. Take a deep breath in to the base of your spine. And release any negative energy with an ah. I just want you to imagine that you could breathe into that sacral chakra, right? Just below your belly button, that lower back area. Take a deep breath in. I want you to imagine that you could breathe into that solar plexus, just between the bottom of your rib cage and above your belly button. Just breathe right into that solar plexus and release any negative energy with an ah. And I want you to just release any tension you feel along the left side of your body from the left armpit down to the left hip and the right side body from the right armpit down to the right side of your hip. And I want you to put your hand on your heart for a moment. Just breathe into that heart space for a moment. Now I want you to feel the left side of your back and the right side of your back and the spine from the bottom of your spine all the way up to the top of your neck. And I want you to just feel a release of tension in your left shoulder, your left upper arm, your left lower arm, your left hand and fingers. I want you to feel a release of tension in your right shoulder, your right upper arm, your right elbow, your right lower arm, your right wrist, hands and fingers. And I want you to breathe into that throat chakra. Breathe into that neck and throat and release any negative energy with a sigh. Now I want you to just massage your jaw for a moment. That's right, massage your jaw. And I want you to open that jaw wide. I want you to just release any tension in your left ear, your right ear, the left side of your head, the right side of your head, the back of your head, the top of your head, your forehead, and behind your eyes, your nose, your cheekbones. Now I want you to just take one nice, long, slow, deep breath in and out. And I want you to just see how you feel in your body. Right? Now you're in your body. Another thing you can do to get in your body or to be present to the moment is to take your fingertips and lightly stroke the inside of your arm. Lightly stroke along your legs, right? Just this fingertip pressure. Just to gently caress any part of your body that you can touch with love and care, right? This just helps you get into your body and present. Now, like me, some of you might be feeling tension in certain areas, and you may want to go back to that area and imagine that a beautiful bright light, when you breathe in, a beautiful bright light shines into that area. So like for me, it's my middle back, my solar plexus, my lungs, my in between my rib cage, those little muscles, right? The cartilage between, right? My elbows, my wrists, my fingers, my neck, my shoulders. There's a beautiful bright light shining through all of these areas, just releasing all of that tension, right? Releasing all of that tension. All of these are tactics to help you get deeply into your body, because I think for a lot of us, our bodies really clue us into what's going on with our psyches more than we even realize. Now, once you've begun to notice your behavioral patterns, like I notice my physical ones, right? Nausea, pretty hard to ignore. Headaches, hard to ignore. I catch myself saying mean things about my body periodically. As soon as you catch yourself, I want you to stop. Remember when we did that stop, drop, and roll? Right? Like when you were a kid in school and they taught you, if you're on fire, if you ever find yourself on fire, stop, drop, and roll. Stop what you're doing. Stop your behavior. Stop the negative thought. Right? And then drop it. And then I want you to challenge and even change your inner critic. Right? Whenever your inner voice criticizes you, I want you to just check that message it's giving you, right? Be like, you know what? Is that real? Is that true? Is that true forever? I want you to create a new narrative for yourself. Continuously repeating new statements, turning I can't into yes, I can, right? Positive self-talk is a skill worth learning for achieving your goals, for achieving your overall well-being. I was reading about Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, who's now the vice presidential candidate, and how he led the West Mankato High School football team from a 0-20, 0 wins and 27 losses to becoming eventually state champions. And a lot of the guys on his team said it wasn't so much that he was some genius of tactical measures. It was more that it was this continuous positive reinforcement, continuously affirming the good things they were doing and building a belief that they could build better skills, that they could play a better game. It is no different with kids than it is with adults. And we spend so much time affirming the people we love in our lives, but you are also worth affirming for yourself, okay? You are also worth affirming with yourself. So if you, do you remember when we used to talk about the ladder of thought, right? So if you find it hard to go from, I know that I can save money, or I don't know how to save money, and I'm always in debt, and I'm always coming up short at the end of every paycheck, to I am a millionaire. It's like you can come up with, I can learn about money. I can put away $10 a week. I can put away $100 a week, whatever it is, right? I can pay off $100 a week on my credit card. I can begin to build that habit. You just, right? So that you don't, if you're staring at a $10,000 credit card debt, you don't have to pay the $10,000 this month. You're just going to start with $100 a week for now, right? Or whatever a number is that you can do. If whatever it is, you're just going to start with what you can do. So I can build a new habit. I can, I really can. Which brings me to the next tactic, which is achievable goals, right? Because a lot of times self-sabotage is perpetuated by feelings that you can't do anything right anyway, so you might as well just do whatever, you know, the fuck it's, right? Like if you decided you want to try to eat healthy and then you eat a donut and then you get the fuck it's, you eat all 12 donuts. I can tell you, you can change that habit. I can tell you that you can forgive yourself for eating 12 donuts. You can forgive yourself for whatever you've been eating. And you can begin to say, well, you know what? How else could I approach a healthy lifestyle with food? Could I, rather than keep donuts in the house, that I then can't eat, or rather than never have a donut and then binge on them and ruin my goals, could I say on Sunday mornings I have donuts and I make an event of it so that I enjoy the whole thing. So it's not me in the middle of the night secretly hiding this donut that I really wanted to eat. It's me going down to the bakery I love, ordering the donut I love, the nice warm beverage I love, and sitting down, bringing it. Maybe I sit down there, maybe I bring it to a park, and I sit outside, and I enjoy every last bite of that donut, and I really thoroughly take my time to enjoy it because I want to give myself permission to indulge, because I know that every time I've tried to go on a diet, I end up binging on donuts. But if I say, okay, I'm just going to eat, like, I'm going to eat, like, better, I'm going to just aim for, like, 10% better a week. And think about adding health to your life, right? Or whatever that is. Like, I've come up with examples now with food. I've come up with examples with debt. But really, it's about building, setting achievable goals to help yourself build habits, to build up your self-esteem, build up your self-confidence, right? Smaller achievable goals add up over time, let me tell you. That's why I learn songs. Like, I do these, the tactic for learning songs. And, you know, I'm singing usually between 30 to 50 songs a month, right? The month of August, I think I sang 20 on Sunday, 25, 27, plus my audition, 29, plus a gig that got canceled, but I learned 10 songs for that. So I learned 39 songs this month. Now, did I learn them all from scratch? No, some of them I knew or kind of knew. But even so, right, to get them to performance level, I do a little bit every day, just a little bit every day. Because if I have to learn it all at once, I can if I have to, but I don't want to. So a little bit every day, right? You just watch yourself achieve one small goal after another, and that what will happen is that you will actually eventually accomplish the things that you set your mind to do. Your confidence increases. It increases your determination to set bigger goals, right? You can do it, and you don't need to do it all today. Now, another thing that you can do, speaking of healthier lifestyles, is look for other ways to support yourself, right? With your daily habits. Are you getting your water? How are you sleeping? For me, sleep is like everything. Sleep and water, those are everything for me. And yes, are you getting regular exercise and not too much and not too little, right? Are you getting generally balanced nutrition? You know, do you need to check in on your supplement game? All of these daily habits, and especially mindful movement, I think mindful movement can help us a lot, and sleep, right? Sleep hygiene, so important. And other things too, like if the self-sabotage is around something related to how you feel about your body, I want you to look at ways that you can increase your self-image, a positive self-image, in other ways that don't have to be about crash diets or unrealistic fitness goals, but that could be about not wearing clothes that don't look nice on you or that you don't like, right? Maybe buying yourself a nice face cream, buying yourself a nice hand cream, all these little things that might support you. I'm not saying go out and buy like a whole $1,000 skincare routine unless you want to. I'm saying just giving yourself a little extra in areas that you can, right? It's like, oh, well, you know, I can buy myself this face cream and start dabbing it on at night, right? It doesn't have to be an all or nothing game. You can find multiple ways to support yourself. And then, of course, another thing that's really important is for you in general to understand what are your values in life. We talk about that a lot on the show. Knowing your values and therefore being able to reflect on your dreams and setting priorities. Like we talk about a lot on the show, if your dream is to buy a new home and your number one value in life is financial safety and security, you're going to have to work with yourself on what is an appropriate budget for buying your new home, how to achieve that, and what is comfortable for you for your monthly mortgage payment. Otherwise, you may not buy your actual dream home if you don't know how you're going to accomplish it, right? So other things you can do. Visualization, visualizing your success. Visualizing even the small steps along the way, right? If you want to get into a relationship, yes, visualizing the wedding is great, but also visualizing small steps along the way, like visualizing meeting somebody amazing on a dating app, or visualize meeting someone amazing in general, right? Visualizing I'm at the beach and I meet someone amazing. I'm at my local library and then I take a yoga class. And visualizing meeting people everywhere you go and a positive experience of that. And I would say be mindful of the difference between visualizing and fantasy, right? Just be available to the world on the world's terms, but visualizing achieving those goals, small steps along the way. Because also what you can do is, like I mentioned, like I like to stack my work early in a process so I can enjoy things later. If you can plan some of the route to get to your dreams by breaking your bigger goals and bigger projects and bigger dreams into manageable steps, that will help you a lot too, right? And then every time you actually complete a task, it actually reinforces this belief that you can actually overcome self-sabotage, you can actually achieve some of what you're looking to achieve in your life. Another thing you can do is find an accountability buddy, right? Sharing your goals with somebody who believes in you, who can offer support when needed, who will celebrate you when you actually do win, where you complete a task or get a success. Somebody can help motivate you when things get tough, and vice versa, right? Either someone who's a peer that you share this with, or could be a mentor. You could find a mentor that will help you. Somebody who will be prepared to cheer you on, to celebrate your wins, to offer support when needed, and maybe gently point out when they notice if you need to make a change, right? Okay, another tactic is practicing self-compassion. This has been somewhat laden throughout this entire episode. I really, 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 really want us all to treat ourselves with the same kindness and the same understanding that we would give to our most beloved friends or our beloved nieces and nephews or our grandchildren, the people we just love and adore, right? Everyone has setbacks. So instead of getting caught up in negative thinking, negative self-talk, see if you can acknowledge what's gone wrong and then learn from that, right? Just see if you can learn from it. So that rather than taking a point of view of self-criticism, you're taking a point of view of, okay, what can I learn from this? And then forgive myself and move on, right? Finally, I would say, if self-sabotage, if the roots are very deep, if they are rooted in very deep past traumas, experiences, if you're really struggling to stop self-sabotaging, I would say it's a good idea to call Erin at One Two Listen, right? Call Jay at One Two Listen, or call a therapist, call a One Two Listen person, call, get a life coach, right? Get a coach in the area where you would like to improve. See somebody who works on reclaiming inner child, right? Work with EFT tapping. Work with somebody who can guide you through that. There's so many different aspects to this. Finding a professional for where you are at this point in your life, somebody outside of your system can offer invaluable insights and help come up with a lot of different coping strategies, like I just offered, right? One-on-one to really help you achieve your potential, right? So I just want to offer a couple of other little notes on self-sabotage. The first is, I want you to be careful about labeling self-sabotage as a truth about who you are and or as a toxic trait. Okay. I feel that labeling yourself or your trait as toxic, look, if you are a narcissist psychopath and you are seeking professional help, if you're not seeking professional help, please do. And if you are, please stop, right? You're working on growing. Now, most of us are not psychopaths. Most of us are not at that level. Most of us actually are just having a trauma response or a habit that got formed at one point and then continued on, right? So labeling ourselves as having a toxic trait can actually hinder your personal growth, can actually strain your relationships, right? And I just feel like it is vital to approach self-sabotaging patterns with an understanding and a desire to change rather than that continuous critical judgment, okay? And remember that self-sabotage might actually be a manifestation of past trauma and unresolved past trauma. It might be a subconscious attempt to avoid any situation that reminds you of past painful experiences. And so I really urge you that if you think that self-sabotaging is coming from trauma, very difficult trauma, I really consider that you consider seeking help from a professional, like I just was talking about, because, you know, sometimes things might come up that can become almost impossible to overcome. Well, not almost impossible, but let me reframe that. Sometimes things that might come up that become so scary that you will think they are impossible to overcome, that you will get too scared and feel stuck. And I don't want that for you. I want you to know that things can be overcome, that you can be gently held, okay? That you can change your life, right? That things can change. I promise you that they can change because I have changed. I am one stubborn person. And my tenacity serves me well when it comes to things like I am committed to growth. I am committed to change. But I'll tell you, I've also been tenacious against myself in the past. And I've learned. And I'm telling you, if I can learn, if I can change, if I can overcome some of these very, very difficult, dark habits, I know you can too, okay? If you want to come find me, if you want to come talk to me about it, find me at 12listen.com/Erin. I would love to speak with you. I would love to work with you on anything, especially self-sabotage, especially habits that you have, overcoming these habits, these patterns, right, that get in the way of your happy life. Is it easy? Sometimes. Sometimes no. Is it worth it? I absolutely believe it is because we're talking about you having choice in your life, having the freedom to create the life you want, right? Having the freedom to create life, even if it's not exactly the way you thought, creating a beautiful life and learning to love what you have and create more of what you love, okay? So I want you to come find me. If you don't have anyone else that can help you with this, come find me at 12listen.com/Erin. I would love to help you. If you want to go look up EFT tapping, look up mindfulness meditations, look up body scans, look up uncovering patterns, right? You are worth it. I promise you, you are worth it. All right. Until next week, you have been listening to The Erin Carrera Show. Come find me at 12listen.com/Erin. I love you, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Thank you.